It seems there are more holidays during the winter months than any time of the year, with many annoying and bizarre celebrations taking up all our time. With Thanksgiving to Three Kings Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Korean Chinese New Year's, Pagan Solstice, Groundhog's Day, Ramadan, Hanukkah, Boxing Day, Tet, International Sweater Festival, Festivus, Christmas, and yes, even Kwanzaa, everybody, and I do mean everybody, has a special day to celebrate.
Except LGBT folks. Sure, we have National Coming Out Day in October, Pride Month in June, Celebrate Bisexuality Day in September, International Drag Day in July, and Fat Tuesday for the bears, but if you take a close look at the winter months, we have nothing.
And you shall receive it in abundance! So today, we're creating Glitter Day, a winter holiday to celebrate the fabulousness inside all of us. To celebrate, all you need is a lot of booze, a menorah with rainbow candles, and tons of fucking sequins.
Blogger Michael Liat joins us to celebrate Glitter Day early and open his Glitter Day presents.
Plus, public outcry against the TSA security charade mounts over the new possibly dangerous body scanners and invasive searches. Although those turn on people, many airports opt out of the whole mess.
Sarah Palin, please control your children.
The I don't care, I want to go to Sidetracks video goes viral.
Joe Biden quotes same-gender-loving First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt in his It Gets Better video.
And RuPaul, I've got one thing to say to you. Happy birthday. The godmother of drag turns 50. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference. Thank you. Na si wenya yai hua wenya wenya na. Oh, hi.
Hello.
It's The Lion King, starring Mr. T as The Lion King.
I pity the fool who don't respect The Lion King. And me, Mr. T.
Hi, I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And Mark Fillion here, joining us with our fabulous gal pal, Michael Liat.
Hey, guys. How are you?
You don't mind that I call you a gal pal?
No, that's fine.
How you doing? You're going to go see The Lion King tomorrow.
We're going to see The Lion King tomorrow.
Ma!
Have you seen it before?
I've seen it once before.
Majestic triumph of the human spirit.
They're animals.
It's puppets.
But it's Julie Tamer. It's Bun Raku. It's tiki torches and
I think the staging
puppets.
Of the show is just amazing.
Yes, that's a good
the
word
story
to describe it.
And everything I could care less about, but stage presence, it's
you know,
a beautiful
in real
production.
Life, lions are actually more like Scar, where they like to kill the baby cubs so they can fuck the mother again.
Uh-huh. Is
and
that how
that's
it goes?
True. That's how it goes. Actually, The Lion King is deadly accurate, except lions are more like Scar and real life lions and less like the Mufasa or James Earl Jones.
Yeah, they're not all friendly.
This is CNN.
Ooh, Mark, you have a good James Earl Jones.
I can get deep. I got to
give
I gotta
me some
work,
CNN.
Work up.
Channel the earthiness of James Earl Jones, Darth Vader's voice.
Luke, I'm your father. I can go low. This is CNN.
And his penis is the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's very spicy. It's very hot. The holidays are just around the corner.
Literally 36 shopping days left till Christmas.
What do you want for your Hanukkah present? I'm not Jewish. What do you want for your test?
But hey, do I get 7 presents? Then
yes.
I might be Jewish.
You get a dreidel.
Oh, what do you need?
One dreidel.
What do you get for your Kwanzaa present?
Do you celebrate Kwanzaa in your house?
No.
Because you're in a mixed heritage household.
Yeah, mixed heritage. That's a good way to put it. Yes.
Have you ever had? Because you pretty much exclusively have only dated black men.
Yes.
Recently, yeah. It's moved that way. Yes.
Since Atlanta,
but I have dated white guys. But yeah.
If it's brown with Michael Liat, it goes down.
You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever had to like celebrate Kwanzaa with one of your boyfriends? No.
Because I
think like, Kwanzaa's on the way down. I don't think people celebrate it as much. Yeah. They really try to gear it up, and people are like, you know, Christmas is just too much fun.
Well, if Kwanzaa was like the Lion King, I would celebrate it.
Would you?
But it's like a social worker's holiday. It's like, it's cafeteria food, it's some ugly ass candles, some ill-fitting outfits,
the shikis,
and a lot of like feel good self-empowerment shit that doesn't get you anywhere. And all the young people are like, oh God, can this please embarrassing thing be over so we can celebrate Christmas?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the
But I don't know, we might have listeners out there, and maybe Kwanzaa is near and dear to their heart.
I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
I really do. I am sincere and open. I want to hear if there's a single person that life can be saved by us saving them from Kwanzaa. We want to hear from you.
No, it'd be interesting Kwanzaa's to hear okay. how they celebrate. You know, I mean, I think that different.
A gay Kwanzaa.
Yeah, do they add pink candles?
It's gay Kwanzaa, girl.
And you know, and I don't want to be like a bully towards Kwanzaa, mm-hmm. Kwanzaanites, you know, because I think most holiday religions and celebrations are equally ridiculous.
So wait, is Kwanzaa based on a religion called something?
It's what is the history of Kwanzaa?
You know, it was invented, I want to say, in the 70s, and it was based on I don't know, it was some
Wikipedia
guy who went
to the rescue.
The computer says that Kwanzaa is a week-long celebration held in the United States honoring universal African heritage and culture, marked by participants lading a kanara, and observed from December 26th to January 1st every year.
Oh.
So, and the black candle, believe it or not, does not represent, represents black heritage.
Of course it does. Because the colors are black.
Red and
green.
Like
the African state. The African flag.
Yeah, it's reflecting the African
but
flag.
But I want to say that it was invented in the 1970s by a professor who wanted to kind of reclaim some of that African heritage.
1960s, actually.
1960s, okay.
Yes, it was Maulana Karenga. It was a... You know, I think listen.
Hey, if Ron Hubbard can start Scientology, why can't he start up Kwanzaa?
And this is here on the Feast of Fun, dear listener, because we are so LGBT centric on the show. I'd like to start a gay winter pagan holiday.
Don't we already have one? Christmas is kind of gay already.
No, that's been taken over all those Christian conservatives.
Yeah, no, it's been taken over by commercialism.
The war on Christmas mm-hmm. is really like, you know, it's really been launched by the Christian conservatives.
We need to bring back Krampus Night. Krampus Night, which they do it in Germany, and they dress up like goats, and they go around and they steal children and they carry them away and take them to hell.
Oh,
all
like
the bad children.
The child catcher and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Something like that. Yes, yes, yes.
But see, if we celebrated gay Christmas or Christmas,
you know what?
What was a good word?
It should be the week after the first of the year. Because it should be the second week of January, because New Year's is over.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl is the end of January, which is like not gay at all. And right in the middle, all the sales will be out. Girl, think about those cashmere sweaters. You could get like 75%
off. Tracy and her cashmere sweaters.
Tons of fucking. Wait, here, let me do a little viral thing. Tons of fucking rhinestones.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of fucking rhinestones. People.
So mid-January.
Mid-January, because that's perfect timing, because you could go get presents after they go on sale.
And your friends, your parent, you've already seen your parents, you've already seen your family, so it's all over.
Okay, question here. What do you call it? Tons of fucking rhinestones day?
Well, no, we got to pick up something that Hallmark would eventually create a card for.
Rhinestonia. It has to be glittery.
Glitter day?
Glitter day.
Well, what does it sell? Gay day.
Well, the gay day sounds too much like pride. This has to be a winter-like about celebrating
the winter fest,
the LGBT, our LGBT heritage, and how it goes back to all the airports that have opted out of the TSA, San Francisco, Key West.
Glibbit Day.
Glibbit Day. No, Glitter Day.
Glitter Day?
Glitter Day.
Glitter Day, where everyone shines from within.
Sparkle. Yeah, there you go.
Tons Perfect. Of fucking rhinestones.
Glitter.
That could be the subtitle, Fausto.
Glitter, Glitter Day. Day.
Explain tons to the good of people fucking... the world with tons of fucking rhinestones.
So there's this... There was a newspaper, not newspaper, a news reporter going around interviewing people. There was a thrift store or something, and this gay man comes up with an arm buttload of dresses, stuff, and they're like, "So how's the sale coming?" And like he just blurts out, "Oh, she goes, tons of fucking rhinestones."
Yeah,
and he goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
The woman says, "Because it was live.
It was yeah. live.
She did,
yeah.
she did not expect that." Well, if he got fined, if she got fined.
Well, no, I think the FCC said that in situations like that where it's in passing and it's not within control per se,
yes.
that's not a finable offense. Because there were some award shows where somebody said fuck and stuff. And that's
that.
Still going on. But what they were saying was when it's in a live situation like that where you don't really have control over the actors.
Speaking of live control of things, the WGN News this morning had a video camera on this bridge. They're waiting because they're going to collapse the bridge. So they wanted to see this bridge implode.
Okay.
And so they've got the camera on there. They're talking. They're like talking for like 3 minutes. They're like, well, it's not happening yet. So they switch over to their weather guy and just start talking to him real quick. And then they're like just for a few seconds. And they move back to the bridge. And between the time that they moved off, the bridge had come down. And they're like, oh my God, how did we miss this?
Oh, that's perfect.
I know.
Couldn't they just like record it and then just replay it?
They must have recorded it.
I know, but still did not catch it live. That's hilarious.
Tons of fucking rhinestones. I have to make it. That's a t-shirt.
Mm.
Tons of fun. But you can't wear that in public, though.
You can't wear them.
How about Glitter Day? The Feast of Fun holiday where all the good little girl, gay, boy, tranny, trans... boys and girls
just say everybody.
Out there.
Just
everybody
say everybody
celebrates the shine that's within
but
them.
But has the word glitter been tainted by Mariah Carey?
It's time to reclaim these words, people. Just because they've been used in a negative, horrific way doesn't mean that you reclaim them. Seriously, do what the young generation does. They're like their potty mouth is actual political activism.
Because we've been having long discussions lately, especially not so much on the podcast, but off the podcast and on different forums about the use of the word tranny. Because I've been reading a lot of political blogs and people are saying, you know, don't use that term. GLAAD's against using that term. And I can certainly understand it in like in a written article. Like you wouldn't want to say, oh, a tranny was hit by a bus. You're not going to want to say that. You know,
you might want to
say a trans person.
Yeah.
Going to want it, you know, something like that. You want to give it that. But the thing is, like, the problem I have, and I think Fausto has too, is like all of our trans friends, they all use the word tranny when they're talking about themselves, when they're talking about their friends, when they're talking about going out with their friends. Oh, a bunch of us trannies all got together. So for me,
it's also their blogs, their Twitter accounts, what they tweet about. If you Google the word tranny, it's more commonly used than trans even. So it's a situation where it's definitely a word that it's affirmative. And it's being used by trans individuals to refer themselves in an affirmative way. Now, the word just because the word gay, for example, can be used in a defamatory, insulting, you know, that's so
You're
gay.
You're so gay, Michael.
You're so gay. You know, like a Katy Perry song, you know, that's so gay.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that the word gay isn't good, you know. And certainly there's female-to-male trans individuals who really don't like that word at all and don't want it to be used around them. And you
but
have
I
to
know
respect
plenty
that.
Of them that do.
Yeah, and so, you know, so this is actually what somebody said. I had this conversation with Second Wind on the social network Reddit. And I think, because he's identified as a trans man, at least I understand, because, you know.
Second Wind, I'm going to guess female to male.
Or, you know, maybe somebody who's into farting a lot.
A fartophile.
Fartophile. And so this is I found this wonderful article, and I wanted just to read this really quick to you.
The Balearico Project, wasn't it?
And it went like this. If the older generation doesn't wish to reclaim the word tranny, we don't need to. The younger generation will reclaim it for us, whether we want them to or not. It is the natural order of things. Like the Lion King!
Uh-huh.
Well, because, like, well, the word queer is, like, people didn't want to reclaim that word. And then in the 90s, people were like, hey, let's reclaim that word queer. And, you know, I still kind of have a problem with fag or faggot, but lots of young people are reclaiming that.
Yeah, and, you know, one day, people will reclaim the word willow or Bristol. to mean a beautiful tree mm-hmm. or a delicious type of toffee.
I wonder if she named her after Harvey's Bristol Cream.
She named her after Bristol, Connecticut, because that's where
she was conceived.
No, ESPN comes out of.
I think it's Harvey's Bristol Cream.
She wanted to
Sarah
be a sports
Palin.
Guy. No, I'm telling you, that's why.
Oh,
because she wanted to go work there and be a sportscaster.
What a way to brand your child with your failed dreams.
So oh, true.
Zing, Michael.
Zing, zing, zing.
A Wisconsin man has been so pissed off, so angry. Mm-hmm. By Bristol Palin's reappearance, she is like that zombie that you have to shoot her in the head.
Don't say that about somebody. No.
Well, I don't, and I don't want any violence, but she's like that. Okay, let's clarify this the metaphor here. She's like that guy that in Schmuckle. Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome, they keep kicking off the car, and she just keeps crawling
she's like
back.
The cable guy. He just keeps coming back.
She is like undefeatable, and mostly it's because of conservative bloggers who are not even watching the television show Death Scene with the Stars. She keeps coming back, even though she sucks.
Mm-hmm.
A man named Stephen Cohen claims he was tired of politics and did not think that Palin was a good dancer when he decided to pull out his gun and shoot his television set earlier in the week. Oh, the carnage. He then pointed his gun at his wife and demanded that she get his pistols. She was able to escape and call the police. A SWAT team surrounded the man's home and negotiators worked to persuade him and said, "It's just a television show. It's only a reality. Reality television, it's not actual reality." Eventually, the man agreed, and the standoff ended. He has been charged with reckless endangerment. And is
well, he should be. That's crazy.
That is crazy. But,
that is why some people should not own guns.
But he was so enraged.
Well, it's a TV show.
I know, but if
it's
you're
like a little 19-year-old baby mama who gets to dance around, who cares?
And talk about abstinence.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that
horrifically the situation. You know, actually, I do appreciate the situation for bringing out the retarded, mm-hmm. crazy, insane nature of Bristol Palin. You know,
do you know how old he is?
How old is he?
He's 29.
Yeah. How old did you think he was?
Oh no, I mean, I knew how old he was.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he Jersey Shore, he comes off much younger.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a maturity level.
Yeah.
So you saw the pro-condom, pro-abstinence, but if you do use sex, you should use condoms, mm-hmm. that the situation and Bristol Palin did together. What did you guys think of it?
Well, I thought it was ridiculous her sitting up there talking about abstinence when it's like, obviously, she's had sex before and she didn't use condoms. And she's taking her repledge for abstinence and she's not going to have sex till she gets married. But, I mean, come on. She doesn't have a track record for it.
No. Please. Absolutely.
But at least she was able to say to him, "Well, I'm glad you're practicing safe sex." And so they did mention safe sex several times.
And maybe there's somebody in America mm-hmm. who doesn't know her mm-hmm. backstory. So if that message gets out to a young girl and she doesn't know who Bristol is or what her background is, then okay.
And but then what about Willow Palin
faggot
outrage on Facebook?
You only learn that stuff at home.
Well, you don't only learn that stuff
yes,
at home.
Yes, you do.
And so
you
just learn it to at clarify this, Willow, no, somebody that she knows at school posted that, "Oh, your mother's TV show on TLC sucks." And so she got mad at him, called him a fag and a couple of other slurs. And then, but their whole community jumped on it. It was like 100 people. Yeah. I had to stop reading it after a while. Even Bristol jumped on it, too.
It's crazy.
She's talking about it. Bristol's since come out and apologized, and so we're still waiting for Sarah Palin to come out and refute her daughter's statements.
Yes, I refute her statement.
But I don't know if she ever will. And it's like part of me, and we were talking, like, what was it, Jon Stewart on The Daily Show? He's like, "She's a kid, leave her alone." And yeah, I think partly he is right. She is a kid, and we've all used words like that against other people. You know, growing up, we've said things like that. And, you know, she is 16. And
but is there no consequence for using words?
But the other
words?
Thing, too, is like maybe she should come forward and say, "You know what? I shouldn't have called him that words. I was mad."
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay to fuck up, but, you know, you should apologize.
I agree. But, you know, it's like, I forgot what I was going to say.
But you were saying you never called anybody a bad word.
No, hold on a second. If you see a kid out in public mm-hmm. cussing or throwing temper tantrums or breaking glass, what do? You call the kid's parents and you make that parents pay for the broken window or get the kid to apologize or do something. Sarah Palin's not doing anything. And her bratty children are running amok in this country because she and her husband have been bad parents.
Oh.
You know? Okay, you pick on the kids, but yeah. pick on the parents. I mean, you're this is like Kate Gosselin level of bad parenting.
And she's not alone. There's a lot of parents out there that don't parent.
Use this word all the time. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but they do. She's
then get your kid
really
to apologize or apologize
than,
for your kid.
Than any other kids.
Yeah. Seriously. Mm-hmm. You know?
You asked me growing up in school. No, we never called anybody a bad name. Just because I went to such a small school, there were 48 kids in my graduating class, and most of us, almost 90% of us, went to school from kindergarten to 12th grade.
So you already had called each other names in second grade.
Yeah, like in second grade.
This.
Yeah, you know, because we were all really good friends. So
meaning a small town.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I got called a faggot in high school, and it was like when they said that, you're like, do they know?
Like, yeah. You know.
You're like, it's like the terror that strikes your heart. It's like, did they see me masturbating to Soloflex ads? You're horrified, you know? And so, now I hear about all these, like, 14-year-old teenagers, like, they're like, I'm gay, I'm going out on the date. And,
yeah.
You know, this young, brave man who has yet to be given
You're wrong.
What?
Go ahead and say what you're going to say, and I'll tell you you're wrong.
So Ellen gave him a scholarship?
No, she's invited him onto the show.
Oh my God!
What happened?
Free scholarship for Graham Taylor.
This is the 14-year-old kid who defended his gay teacher coming out.
I said Graham Taylor better get a scholarship from Ellen or Ellen sucks. And she's gonna do
yeah, he was very
she's
eloquent.
Got money. Now, have you heard about Portia, her wife? Portia de Rossi is, you know, she's originally from Australia. She's been down in Australia doing the talk show circuit.
I did hear that.
And she's been saying that she wants to be interviewed by women only. Because only women really understand her plight and are sensitive.
What if I dress up in drag?
Maybe. Because she's talking about like women's issues and dieting and anorexia. So she doesn't think she'll get much sympathy from a guy.
You know, put a wig on Matt Lauer. Put a little, you know, make him tough.
An Australian actor. What if she talked to Dame Edna? He's Australian,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's Australian.
Does she still have a career or a show down there?
Oh, honey. She will. That, once again, like Bristol Palin. Hard to kill.
Don't talk about people in that kind of terms.
I'm not saying actually kill her.
Sensitive.
Why? I'm not advocating violence. I'm saying like kill a career, not the person.
Okay. No.
All right.
But you see, the thing about it is your hatred runs so deep. Then when I talk about killing a career, you actually think I'm talking about killing a person. I mean, that's what it is.
I don't hate Dame Edna.
You know,
she's funny.
It's like if I said, you know, oh, honey, her career's dead. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, don't talk about her that way.
Well, it's, you know, it's different when you talk about career's dead. You got to preface it by what's going to be dead. And
hard
what's
to kill.
Yeah.
We are going to be hearing about Bristol Palin till the day we die.
We're going to be hearing about fucking Bristol Palin.
Remember when the election passed and Sarah Palin thankfully was not elected vice president, a heartbeat away from president of the United States. And all our listeners were like, stop talking about Sarah Palin. She's over. She's done.
Had like people like send us rants. Quit talking about
her. And I said immediately afterwards, Sarah Palin ain't going nowhere.
Nope.
And here she is, still like a cockroach.
Now she's saying that she thinks she could beat Obama in 2012.
and Donald Trump said he would run just so she wouldn't win.
He actually said that?
Yeah.
I love Donald Trump now.
He said he would.
As an independent?
Probably.
Awesome.
He has the money.
He has
the,
and you know what?
Even though Rosie says that he doesn't have any money, he actually does have money.
Don't we need a businessman in the White House? I mean, really, running the country is a business.
Well, it's not really a business, and I think that they've had some business people in there before, and that was their kind of their idea to get into politics and to become president, and they just didn't do as well. Mm. And governors, certainly governors that have been businessmen, don't always fare as well.
So you've got to want to be a long-term politician.
Yeah, you've got to be a long-term politician. You've got to start conniving early,
is what you're saying.
Sarah Palin, the Shakespeare of today's time, has a new word.
Century.
So refudiate is going to be the word of the year by Oxford Dictionary. So they're putting it in there. Now, she is not the first person.
Wait, say that. You said that so quickly,
refudiate.
People could not hear you.
Refudiate.
Say it slowly.
Refudiate.
And the word that she's trying to say is?
Repudiate.
And what is the difference between the two words?
It's there's no difference. Repudiate means refudiate. It means to reject.
And she just mispronounced it and then said it's a new word. And
well,
now it's
they
in the
said other politicians have said it before, so maybe she may have picked it up from somebody else. But I think she meant to, you know, it's a normal sounding word, really.
Yeah.
When you think about it, refudiate.
Yeah.
Why not?
She probably picked it up in a bathroom stall in Denver. Is that where Craig was?
In a glory
Iowa.
Hole.
Iowa.
She overheard it in a glory hole.
After she went through TSA. Did you want to talk about the TSA?
Yeah.
Talk about
so
that
everybody's traveling for Thanksgiving. And, you know, if you haven't been in an airport lately, now there a lot of airports are having those scary new advanced scanner machines, which I'd like to get my hands on. And point them to some of the guys at the gym, you know what I'm saying? Because there's too many clothes. Like Jake Gyllenhaal, if you've seen those posters, there should be a law against him wearing any clothes. There should be like a permanent, you know, scanner on his body, scanning him up and down. But the problem is right now is that Americans, scientists, biologists, cancer doctors, and other politicians are sounding the alarm about these new scanners because they don't work the way the old scanners did, where the x-rays are evenly distributed throughout your whole body. They only bounce off your skin.
Yeah.
And so when you had this, it's a higher level of radiation and it's being concentrated and being absorbed and bounced off by the surface of your skin, meaning that it could in the future possibly lead to skin cancer and other types of cancer, and opening up lawsuits against the government and the TSA of people developing all sorts of skin cancers and leukemia in the future because we're having this charade of security. Now, let me explain to the listeners here. A lot of these scanners and these new techniques have been implemented as a result of the underwear bomber. Even though these new techniques, if the underwear bomber were going through the scanners today, he possibly might not be caught.
Really?
Yeah. That's the whole irony is that they've raised this to the next level. They've, you know, cranked it up a notch, but it actually isn't doing what it's supposed to do, which is keeping us safer. Not only that, it's also drawing attention to the fact that for baggage handlers, for people who work the runways, the tarmacs, the behind the scenes of the airports, the security is ridiculously low. You don't even need an ID. You just need like a form to like get behind there and to just walk up and blow up a bomb. You know, so really, if we really want to be safer at our airports, we would look at baggage handlers and how these people actually get cleared access, and we really, you know, our existing security is not going to get, you really can't do anything.
Well, and you
about
don't
it.
Have to go through one of those scanners. You can get a pat down, right?
Yes. A really invasive pat down.
Well, how invasive is it?
It's like they touch your junk.
Yeah.
Well, that happened. Like when I was traveling in the UK, I traveled back from Wales. What was it? 2006. And I mean, he patted me down and he was hot though. He patted me down pretty good. I was really kind of surprised.
And did you thrust your penis into him and go, oops, I'm sorry.
I didn't expect it. I did because it was the first time that had ever happened. Uh-huh. So I didn't know. So but, you know, I'm one of those people. I don't really travel. Like I try and travel light. I don't wear a belt through security. I don't have change in my pockets. My keys are in my bag. I'm ready to go.
I was reading an article and some guy, they were talking about people that were going through and there was a guy there that was in a tank top mm-hmm. in gym shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
He's uh-huh. like, you pat him down?
He's like, you pat me down. No, he walked through the x-ray or walked through the magnetometer mm-hmm. and he was like,
nothing.
Pat me down. There's nothing here.
There's nothing.
So I think that maybe what everybody should start doing is wearing leotards to the airport.
Just wear less.
Yeah.
And then, I like the idea of leotards and tutus. But you can hide a gun under the tutu.
No tutus.
So
no
be like a modern sort of like, you know, Alvin Ailey dancer.
It might come to that. It might be you have to wear a bodysuit. And
you
probably rent
suit.
Them a flight suit.
Well, I mean, that's what they'll call it, a fly tight. Suit.
So but I remember going through that magneton and then he's like, you're not wearing a belt? And I'm like, no, I'm not wearing a belt.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to be traveling eventually soon.
I will not go through the scanner.
Would you?
No, I wouldn't.
So, dear listener, you know, I wouldn't either. So there's three people here unanimously. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go through the skin scanners. I'm really worried about skin cancer in my family. It's high. And
I'm just hoping I'll get felt up.
I want to be felt up, too. It's kind of like turning me into a pervert
now. I want to feel pretty. Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing I propose. Get some Viagra. Get a massive hard-on.
While you're waiting in line.
While you're waiting in line. And when they're feeling you up, you're like, are you sure you don't want to touch me down there? And they're like rubbing your dick and you're like, does it become a federal offense if you like get turned on or like moan a little when they're touching you?
If they're touching me, you should be able to do anything you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. This is another thing I propose is that they hire porn stars and strippers, male or female, and you get to pick which gender, race, build. Oh, yeah. So if you like them athletic or you like them muscular or you like them bearish, you can get felt up by the person you want to feel.
That's just going to leave security that much longer.
You know what? Sometimes it's not the destination, it's the journey.
Well, they have those smell machines, too. Can't they smell that kind of stuff? Like, they should be able to smell
it. Well, they
it.
Do that, too. They'll take it to a swab over your luggage and stuff. Yeah.
You know, if they're smelling my crotch sometimes, it would go running.
Well, I think we should all, as people, just come together and agree not to blow up planes anymore. Well, I just call it a
well,
day.
On the people are coming together on November 24th. There's the National Opt-Out Day. Mm-hmm. And so people, activists, and people are organizing, asking anybody who's traveling not to go through the body scanners. Yeah. And make sure, if you're flying that day, people are going to be opting out. And it's going to take a long time to get through those lines. So my recommendation is try not to fly on that day. Or if you're flying, give yourself at least an hour or two early, because it's going to be madness at the airport.
You know what surprised me at the airport? Everybody's always in a hurry. And I'm like, hello.
You know when the flight is leaving.
We're all in a hurry. You know, it's like when you're pulling up, people are like blowing their horns and like trying to.
Everybody's running late.
I know. And it's like, we're in a fucking airport. We're all in a hurry, motherfucker.
Have you ever missed a flight?
No.
Have you ever missed a flight, Fausto? I missed a flight once just because I thought it was like later in the day. I was like, oh, I thought my flight was at 5. No, it was at noon. I was like, oh.
This is the ridiculous thing. We got on time, plenty of time to the terminal. And they're like, well, the terminals are not even open, but you're more than welcome to go to the snack shop and get a refreshment. And well, you know, they actually told us this. American M to the F Airlines.
Where was that in?
There was a flight to Puerto Rico. This is before September 11th.
Yeah, but what airport was that?
Here in Chicago O'Hare. And it was me, my sister, and my sister's girlfriend. So we go to the thing. And we're like, well, I guess because we got really early. And so we were like, okay, well, I said, be back here at, I think it was 2:00. You know, the flight boards at around, you know, 1:45, and then it takes off at 2:30.
So you got there at like 6:00 in the morning for a 2:00 flight?
No, we got there too early. Like we were there like for an hour extra early, and the gate wasn't open yet or something.
Oh.
I think it was a morning flight, I think what it was. Anyways, we went and we had a snack and we're sitting around and we're like, hey, it's free Wi-Fi at the airport, you know. So we were like, okay, it's time to go. And so we went back to the gate and they're like, your seats have been given to somebody else. And I was like, well, why'd you tell us to go? Like, we were furious. I was like, why'd you tell us to leave? And they're like, well, that was somebody else. That's with me. Blah, blah, blah. They would not give us a free ticket. They would not do anything except put us in a later flight that day. And my poor old father, God rest his soul, had to go drive to the airport twice. Because he's senile. He was senile the time. And he just showed up. So, you know, I feel sorry for people who are going to be traveling on November 24th. But
it's
going to
be
all right. It's going to be all right. I think the way this is going to play out is that they're going to give up these toxic scanners and try different techniques.
No, they're going to push through.
They're going to try to push for them.
They're going
to
push through. They're not.
But what happens if these scanners actually make people sick?
Well, that's for our grandchildren to figure out. And
this is not your grandchildren. This is like 5 or 10 years from now.
Well,
this is like lawsuits
happening.
They're
going to push forward, and then eventually they're going to pass a law and say that you have to go through the back scanner and that the, you know, the pat down is no longer allowed.
I want the anal probe.
Of course you would.
San Francisco, Kansas City, the greater city of Rochester, New York, Key West.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like all gay destinations are opting out.
And because there's a big thing about the Orlando, not MCO Orlando International Airport, but sort of like the Midway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The smaller Orlando airport is going to opt out of TSA checking or acting as security at the airport.
Can they do that?
They can do that. There's those cities that Fausto listed off are 6 cities that have already gone to private security.
Is it cheaper to do private security or
it might be better?
I don't
actually
know. It might be better. There's 5 approved organizations that are TSA approved for airport security, and any airport at any point can go in and say TSA, no thank you, we're going to hire out. I think the difference is probably TSA the government pays for versus if you're bringing a private company and you have to pay for it probably. I don't
probably know the people are doing security are hotter.
Yeah, because they're not government employees.
Listen, some government, and they're listening to the show right now. I want to do a shout out to one of them. He works at the U.S. Post Office.
Well, another one?
Here's another one. He hit me up on Facebook, and he's like, I listen to your show. I'm not probably sure I'd identify his name, but...
I wouldn't.
He listens to the show. He works in the suburbs of Chicago. He does not know Miss Vernon.
Oh.
But he travels around and listens to the show and says he loves our sense of humor, and he loves listening to our podcast. So you know who you are. And U.S. Michael, Postal Service.
Michael, you know Miss Vernon, too, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, I know Miss Vernon.
From the post Broadway office. Post Office. Yeah.
She's so funny because she's so bruff. And then I get in there, so, oh, I said, I just saw Mark and Fausto, and they said hello. Oh, how are those boys? And their attitude totally turns
Isn't
around.
Isn't it funny how she switches like that
so I
got to
drop your name every time when I go in there. First, she's going, Fausto!
Yeah, that was like Mutual of Omaha. Yeah. Tell him Perkins sent
Mike. Yeah, you just walk in, just say it to any of them. Even the black guy that was there, like, are you Miss Vernon? And he'll be like, what? And be like, they talk about you, and he'll know who we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
And he'll be nice to you, too. And believe he might be Miss something or other. It might not be Miss Vernon. But.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really good-looking guy. I mean, you know, I like the girls that work at the post office. And it's like, they get treated really rudely by people.
Because, again, people go to the post mm-hmm. office when they're in a hurry. Mm-hmm. You don't go to the post office when you're in a hurry. No.
Savor it like an expensive mm-hmm. coffee drink at a designer coffee bar. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you're going to go to the post office on Broadway in Lawrence here in Chicago, you stop by your local coffee shop and you get some of those overpriced expensive coffee mm-hmm. drinks. And you get about six of them. Cover the girls. And bring them all there. Make sure to have whipped cream on top. Listen, sometimes you got to thank your postal carrier for doing the work no one else wants to do.
Yep. I will tell you this little trick, though. People don't realize is that post office is open till 7.
Yes.
So if you go there after 6, the line is really short.
And bring a credit card. You can use the machine. But yeah. You don't get to meet Miss Vernon. No. You don't get to hear her fabulous stories. You don't get to hear her taunt her general manager, Mr. Muhammad. Mm-hmm. She turns to him and she's like, he goes, Miss Vernon, are you done with this customer? And she's like, Mr. Muhammad, I am dealing with a customer. Can you leave me alone? Like, she screams at him. And it's just like, baby, how you doing? How's it going? You know, it's like, can I get you some stamps?
Because she's talking to a customer.
She's so sweet and so loving to me. And it's like, and Mr. Muhammad is like so unappreciative.
Well, I'm sure he's probably sexually harassing her.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's why.
Get him fired, Mark.
I hope not.
It's very nice. Swear to God, it's like a skit from Little Britain. In there. I mean, it's humorous, you know. So shout out to Mr. Muhammad and Ms. Vernon and all the good postal carriers who listen to the show. We love you and we support you for doing
salute
all the work.
You.
We salute
rain,
you.
Nor snow, nor sleet, nor whatever.
Nor sass.
Nor sass.
We'll stop you
from bringing our
delivering the mail because I am a federal employee. And you do not fuck with federal employees, including Joe Biden. He is a federal employee too. He's a senator. Oh no, vice president now.
He's vice president
of the U.S. MFA, and he has a "It Gets Better" video. Would you like to hear it?
Sure, why not?
Let's hear Joe Biden and his charming. He is a very handsome, charming man.
Hey, thanks for giving me a chance to say a few words to you.
Hey, baby.
I want to start off by saying, first and foremost, I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
There's not a single thing about you that's not normal, good, and decent.
Like normal people.
There are tens of millions of people around the world and millions of people right here in America and people right in your neighborhood who may be or are perceived to be gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. They're normal people. But so many people in your circumstance are experienced being bullied or ridiculed. And I know it's not only hurtful, but sometimes it can be literally frightening. And there is absolutely no justification for it. Just remember what there was a woman named Eleanor Roosevelt, President Roosevelt's wife. She once said,
what?
No one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a little Lady Bunny Lady Bunny rewrote.
There is absolutely no justification for it. Just remember what there was a woman named Eleanor Roosevelt, President Roosevelt's wife. She once said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Don't give your consent. Look around you. Look at the...
That's it.
No one can...
can make you feel inferior without your consent.
And she was rumored to be a lesbian. Yeah. I think it's almost not just, I think it's beyond rumors. I think it's almost like pretty well documented.
I like how he was speaking directly to me.
Yes. He's like, there's nothing wrong with you, Michael. Except
yeah,
for your hair. What's going on with your hair, Michael?
I'm growing it out so I can get a weave.
You are getting like fat, like seriously, like weave. Are you getting dreadlocks or
no?
Are you
I think
cornrows?
I should get like I want to get like long Fabio hair.
I can't wait.
Are you crazy? I think that'd be hilarious.
Have you ever had hair extensions in your hair?
No.
They itch like
a
mofo.
It's the first time for everything.
You get used to it. Just when they start to itch, you don't scratch.
Yeah,
you
pat.
You pat.
That's what the girls at work do.
They pat it.
So, although it's hard to out people after their death, there is much evidence to believe that Eleanor Roosevelt was bisexual or a lesbian. The first lady, wife to FDR, was known as the first lady to the world and had a longstanding relationship with another woman.
Aww.
Well, good for her.
Because they had those, what do they call them, Boston marriages back then.
Here's a letter to that Eleanor Roosevelt penned to Lorena Hickox.
I love your labias. They're so soft and moist.
She called her Hick.
Hick.
Hick, darling. All day I've thought of you, and another birthday I will be with you. And yet tonight, you sounded so far away and formal. Oh, I want to put my arms around you. I ache to hold you close.
Is she really saying that?
Yeah, let me finish. Your ring is a great comforter to me. She's referring to a phone call. I look at it. Oh, no, she's actually talking about a ring. At it and think she does love me, or I wouldn't be wearing it.
Oh.
I wish I could lie down beside you tonight and take you into my arms. Eleanor Roosevelt.
She really wrote all that?
Yeah, she wrote it.
Wow.
That's the thing about...
That's pretty lesbianic.
Yeah, this is 1933, where they didn't have the word lesbian was coined.
The word lesbian.
Well, they didn't think... She didn't identify. She just wanted to bang this chick, you know?
And she was loaded, and her husband had tons of money.
So do you think she was a top or a bottom?
She's a bottom.
Mm.
But that face...
She's a butch bottom. Eleanor Roosevelt. It is possible to be a butch bottom.
I could just see it.
She's a butch bottom.
I don't know.
Listen, she was a lovely, lovely woman. I didn't know her personally, but she inspired millions of people mm-hmm. and brought the world together and brought peace and serenity. And
she was married to Franklin?
FDR, mm-hmm. baby.
Oh, well, he was in a chair, so he couldn't. He wasn't.
He's not going to be banging her.
Yeah, but maybe he was really good at eating pussy.
They had kids together, though, didn't they?
Did he always?
When did he? He didn't even polio
until
late.
Well, it was polio.
Late.
Well, he'd just get up on those crutches and then bang.
He fucked with those crutches. What he did.
He had the
Fouls you stuff. Sick people.
Maybe he had a sling.
This is a family show. Keep it clean. Be respectful of the legacy of Eleanor Roosevelt.
You were going to say Eleanor Rigsby.
You were
going to
say it because Foster can't get Beatles off his mind.
It's everywhere. I wonder how much...
I've managed to avoid it at all.
I don't
barely
like the Beatles.
Listen, if you listen to mm-hmm. podcasts, mm-hmm. if you go to Apple or tech websites.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
It's everywhere. I'm like, really? The Beatles? Music? It's for sale? Who cares?
I've been ignoring the Beatles for 30 years. I don't even like it.
You know, I barely listen to my Latino version of the Latin tribute to the Beatles with Celia Cruz in it. And that actually doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Can I just say this? It is possible to be one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time and still be overrated.
Yes.
You know, I'd rather hear, dame la mano y ven, dame tu mano y ven.
Watch out, they sue very easily.
The Beatles?
Oh, yeah.
Yoko Ono
yeah.
and I are like this. Mm-hmm. We're friends.
She Yoko is not the Beatles.
She helps to, you know,
well,
run
she has
thing.
Part. She owns part of the Beatles.
She owns part of it.
Yeah.
She cashes in, honey. That's what, you think her albums are putting a roof over her head?
There's vanity projects.
Yeah, I can just imagine.
Listen, Walking on Thin Ice is actually a really good album.
Walking on Thin Ice. I don't think I've ever listened to anything
kiss,
Yoko.
Kiss, 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 kiss me, love. Just one kiss, kiss will do. Kiss, 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 kiss me, love. That's all I ever want from you.
Isn't that a Beatles song?
That's Yoko Ono.
Oh, it sounds just like a Beatles song.
And written by Yoko Ono.
Oh.
Well, her husband helped out a little
good
bit.
Good for her.
Just a little bit. Is it like in the future, 500 years from now, it's like everything I've ever done will be attributed to Mark.
Just like everything I've ever done is attributed to Foster.
He's like, we're not going to have any records. We're not going to have any records in 500 years.
What will we have?
We're not going to have any records. Everything's going to be gone because we're not putting anything down on paper or anything that's going to be preserved.
Oh, listen. Skynet will obliterate anything.
Skynet will take care of everything.
Skynet is
is your...
Skynet is Google.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Google is Skynet.
There actually is a corporation in Japan called Skynet that builds smart robots. For guess what their purpose is for?
Terminators.
For military use. And I'm like, okay, let's think about this way. If you were a supercomputer that is trying to develop artificial intelligence, and...
Which Google is.
No, well, Google's doing this, but also this corporation called Skynet in Japan, it becomes sentient and says, okay, toasters, toast. Irons, irons. What am I? I'm a Skynet. So it searches on the internet. What does a Skynet do? Oh, kill humanity? Okay, I'm that.
That's what I'll do.
So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep, absolutely.
We want to remind the listeners that today's show would not be possible without your generous contributions, your love and support. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
And I want to thank our friend of the show, Boy Butter Personal Lubricant. Use code FEASTOFFUN at shoplube.com at checkout for 10% off. Try squeezing boy butter into your tight agenda today.
Squeeze it in, baby. Squeeze
I like boy butter.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
You like that slick, buttery feeling?
I don't like the containers, though, because it's like butter.
Well, they have a couple of different containers. They have like a pump.
Oh, like spray butter.
It comes out like a pump. Because otherwise...
Grandpa got that confused with her corn.
Because the tub is, you have to like dig into it, right?
Yeah, okay. And it's like not very sanitary.
But listen, pump, when you're fisting somebody, how else are you going to slather your fist with boy butter?
Pump and spray.
Till you get... Have you ever fisted someone?
No.
No?
No.
Have you ever been fisted?
This is a family show,
no.
People.
No.
No?
I don't have a desire to.
Shout out to RuPaul.
Speaking of fisting.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. RuPaul's turning 50 this week. Godmother to all drag queens and single-handedly revitalized an industry of drag queens in this nation with RuPaul's Drag Race. And now in its third season, they have announced contestants. Yeah. And one of them is Mimi on First.
Congratulations, Mimi.
Congratulations.
Mimi, who helped with our Haunted Halstead
pub
crawl.
She was funny. She was good.
She was fantastic, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. I think she might
demented Dorothy.
Win the whole thing.
I think she's going to win the whole thing. And you heard her here first, folks.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you just jinxed her.
Why?
By she's going to be the first to get kicked off.
I don't think so. No. I have a feeling I already know who got off. Because you can tell from some of the personalities. You're like, that's not going to last.
Especially if they don't have a name. It's like, they should just have one wearing a red shirt.
You know? Like on Star Trek. I got to tell you, though, and this is the thing, and I put a blog entry so you guys can see little interviews with them on Feast of Fun. Just search RuPaul's Drag Race, the tag there. And then there's also some of their performances. Now, I could not find Mariah from Atlanta's, any of her performances, because, like, try searching Mariah online.
Red shirt.
So, and she doesn't have a last name.
Well, if you're a drag queen, you can't just have... like a first name that's not spelled at least
well,
a little. Like,
you can if you're not a smart drag queen.
Well, if you want to be successful, you need to have a unique sounding name.
Yes.
Otherwise, you just get lost in that SEO.
In the noise.
Yeah,
in
the noise.
That's why people have last names. Imagine if your name was just Michael.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You'd be every millions of Michaels.
But all the other drag queens were so easy to find because they had unique sounding names.
And even if they're spelled weird. Uh-huh. I mean, that's why African-American people spell their kids' names in unusual
ways. Google search engines?
Absolutely. Well, how many Barack Obamas do you know?
They were on the front edge of that, weren't they?
Listen, African-American people have been on the cutting edge of the civil rights movement, of music, pornography,
technology, everything. You know,
peanut butter.
They did not invent peanut butter. That was not George Washington.
That George Washington did. But he found a lot of uses for the peanut.
Yes, he did.
Including, what is the most common
use?
Lots of
paint. He did lots of stuff with paint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to George Washington Carver and his peanut oil massages, he gave those hot young men at Tuskegee Technical Institute, where RuPaul likes to study. If you notice, on RuPaul's Drag Race and in Star Booty. Tuskegee Technical Institute gets referenced a lot.
Oh, yeah. She loves to say it.
The Tuskegee Technical Institute.
Tuskegee Technical Institute.
So happy birthday to RuPaul. I wonder how she's celebrating her birthday.
I bet she had cake.
With Elton John.
Oh, she didn't have cake.
Oh, yeah. She had cake. Why wouldn't she have cake? It's her birthday.
She doesn't eat cake.
Look, she's got a hit show. She can afford cake.
Yeah, but you can't afford to get fat. Not now.
She can look at it.
Not
Sit on it. Sit on that cake rule.
Sit on that
cake rule for peace, baby. I got one thing to say. Happy birthday.
Aww.
Isn't that the stupidest thing ever?
No.
That's pretty good, though.
I got one thing to say. Happy birthday.
I was so happy when she was on our show before we interviewed her. She's like, I have one thing to say. You bitches better work. I was like, yay.
You bitches better listen to the Feast of Fun podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
that made my day.
You bitches better vote for us and nominate us in the People's Choice Podcast Awards. You still have a couple days left to nominate us in People's Choice GLBT.
Mm-hmm. We're still
working to get it named LGBT to put the ladies first.
Mm.
L stands for ladies.
Yeah, it's weird. Some places do GLBT, LGBT. I sort of like LGBT.
Well, you know the whole reason why that even is the way it is. So, because no one had a really clear answer to that question.
So you finally made one up.
Oh, okay, good.
This is my answer.
Explain it to me.
So
I'll continue
the story. I asked people who work in journalism, who've been working in journalism for the last 30 years of their lives, what do they prefer? What they've been using? And people who worked in print media for many years use GLBT because the gay rights movement had the G in it, and it was primarily seen as a gay men's political movement.
Okay.
That included lesbians, bisexual, transgendered people. In academia, because they thought of queer studies and gay and lesbian studies as an offshoot of women's studies,
okay,
they put the ladies first, LGBT. And so people in the arts and in universities and academia who came from women's studies to wanting to study gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender studies, they like to use the term LGBT, and people who come from press and media use GLBT. Now, if you do a Google search, you'll find that LGBT is the most common use of those words together. And so there you have it.
And that's what we use here at Feast of Fun, LGBT.
LGBT.
I like that.
Although
we started off at GLBT, yes, and we changed it over time.
And even though we are the four-time actual winners of the People's Choice Podcast GLBT Award, mm-hmm, we would like to be a fifth time, and we can't do it without your support, without your nominations.
And let's just also say that we're the only people that have ever won this award. The first year that they did the podcast awards, they didn't even have this category. But there were so many GLBT podcasts out there, like, you know, we need to have this category. And so, you know, salute to Todd Cochran and the people behind the awards for recognizing the GLBT community.
Especially our contributions.
Yes.
And if you have a fabulous video blog podcast or blog, or you have interesting content, share it with our audience, and it may make it on its way to the show. Go to feastoffun.com/fresh and share it and let the world know about how fabulous you are, because we can't love you if we don't know you exist.
And I want to remind you, too, we're on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search Feast of Fun. And our Tostones video is through the roof. Over 2,000 views so far.
You can watch
us as drag queens with our friend Larry and drag. And Michael, you just launched a new video, too.
I just did a new panda video.
With Katy Perry. And the camera work on that was just awesome.
It was fabulous. Mark was my cameraman.
Although I just held the camera. You did a lot of some great editing on that.
Thank you. I worked hard on it.
But you've been using the Flip Ultra HD, which has image stabilization built into it.
Yeah, but that was my first video with the HD.
And how do you like it?
I like it so far.
So you're going to be video blogging more?
I'm going to try, yes.
Because sometimes I feel like I don't want to video blog because I feel ugly that day.
Well, you can't be pretty every day.
You're like, I feel fat. I can't do this. I have a puffy face, you know? And you're like, I don't want to put myself.
Yeah, but I think like that video you did a while ago when you were in bed or you were sleeping or something. And you were, I don't remember what
it was. I was trying to wake him up. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I was in bed. Mark comes into my bed.
It was just funny because you were just all frumpled. And it was cute because it was sort of see a side of you that you don't normally get to see.
It's hard to see. It's hard to make Mark look bad. You know, because he's like a little cute little koala bear when he's sleeping.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And you're like, you just want to crawl into that bed and just bug him. You know? Last but not least, we wanted to play a little bit I don't care. I want to go to Sidetrack.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so funny.
This is hilarious.
What is this? I don't understand this. People can go to a website and they can do a dialogue. And
it goes
back.
It's Animoto.
Animoto.
And you just put in a script.
Uh-huh.
And you can basically, you can do very little. You can say, you can pick from a template.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whether one's a man or a woman. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's very basic. And then it converts your text to speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you can create these animations mm-hmm. just by creating a script.
And this has become a hit, especially in the gay community here in Chicago. And it was made by Bird Bardot.
Oh, it was Bird Bardot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
We had to do some like backtracking and look. I think it's by him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So he's a club kid who has a longstanding. It's even clever for Bird Bardot. Now, this is an interesting thing about it is that people criticize or are frustrated with the gay bar scene in Chicago because they find that this one bar, Sidetrack, which is considered the Mall of America of gay bars because it's enormous
mm-hmm.
and it is lavish and it has a lot of like kiddie drinks. They have like a slush, like a,
slushies,
an infinite
like
ocean
that.
Of slushies. Mm-hmm. And my favorite is the purple.
I would hardly describe it as lavish. I would say that it's, it's a nice
bar. It's upscale.
But it's upscale.
It's
but
upscale.
It's not like you're having cocktails at the Peninsula.
No.
A
fancy hotel.
Yeah, at a fancy hotel.
But for the gay part of town, it's lavish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for the gay part.
Yeah.
Any bar I would say is more lavish, but.
Well, I think the drink prices are more expensive because you're paying for those models to work there.
They're like, duh, how do you make a scotch and soda?
But what's interesting about this video is it appeals to people that like Sidetracks because it reinforces their idea that they like it. And it's wonderful for the people that don't like Sidetracks because it reinforces their idea behind it.
It's funny.
So you win either way.
Exactly.
Okay, let's hear it here.
Hey, buddy, what do you want to do tonight?
Sidetracks. I want to go to Sidetracks. Let's go to Sidetracks.
Really? We seem to go there all the time.
I don't care. I want to go to Sidetracks.
But there is a line there, and the other bars do not have lines to get in.
I don't care.
But we were there yesterday.
I don't care.
Actually, we have gone there every night this past week.
I don't care.
But there are over 20 gay bars in Chicago to choose from.
I don't care.
But we could stay home and drink for free at my place and watch a movie.
I don't care. Sidetracks. I want to go to Sidetracks.
But the music is not that good there.
I don't care.
There is a special party at another bar that we could check out.
I don't care.
But we go there so often, they only need to look at us, and they know what drinks to pour.
I don't care. I want to go to Sidetracks.
I have spent so much money there, I'm sure I own 3% of the bar.
I don't care.
But honestly, we have slept with half the people in that bar.
I don't care. I want to go to Sidetracks.
We cannot dance there.
I don't care.
The boys are not very cute there.
I don't care.
I just got a text message from a friend who is there. He said it is so crowded it took him 10 minutes to get to the bathroom and 20 minutes to get a drink.
I don't care.
But all we do there is just stand around. At other bars we can do things like play darts.
I don't care. I love Sidetracks. Let's go to Sidetracks.
But I can get us free drinks at Roscoe's.
I don't care.
Maybe we could do a bar crawl and just stop there along our way.
No. Sidetracks. I just want to go to Sidetracks.
Fine. But it is actually called Sidetrack. There is no S.
I don't care. Let's check in there on Foursquare. Do you have an iPhone? iPhone 4? I need an iPhone 4.
What's funny about this too is like, wasn't that the original one that really hit it big with these two dogs talking back and forth? It was about the iPhone.
Yeah.
Talking about how it doesn't work.
It was some guy at Best Buy did that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's wonderful that it ended with that. And then it also ends because everybody calls it Sidetracks when it's really just, and there's always somebody that's like, it's just Sidetrack. And so now you have a rebuttal and be like, I don't care. So when somebody tells you like, it's just Sidetrack, you'd be like, I don't care.
I want to go to Sidetracks.
And it's funny just because they're so robotic. And, she looks like a robot. I don't care.
And that's kind of like the whole thing with the iPhone is like that's her mantra is like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Oh, yeah.
I've actually asked the owner, Art Johnson, one of the founders and owners of Sidetrack. Not Sidetracks. why don't they just name the bar Sidetracks since everybody calls it that? And he's like, and his answer was, I don't care. The name of the bar is Sidetrack. True story. We're going to leave you here with Lava.
Lava by Tom Goss, whose new video, Over the Top, melodramatic, channels Douglas Sirk.
Yes, that is his real bed in the video. Do not ask us how we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we got.
That's just simple deduction, isn't it?
Well,
well,
maybe,
it could have been someone
not.
Else's bed, someone else's house, but
it's
actually
not really his boyfriend in the video.
No.
Scandalous.
I know.
I know. I'm like, I want to know how that conversation went in that household. Like, we're going to shoot a video, and you're not going to be in it. We're going to hire an actor to play you.
Actually, I think all the other the military guys were service members that have
real service
started,
members.
Real service members.
But the
so
boyfriend
that's how
is
Tom
not.
Got out of it. Yeah, the boyfriend.
Mark,
not.
Can we hire? Can we do a music video and we hire a porn star to play you?
Absolutely. I have to audition first.
Michael Leah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me on, boys. I have such a good time. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
What's your blog? Tell them.
Oh, whatsaboytodo.net or find me at chicagonow.com/gay.
Are you still blogging there?
Yeah, barely.
And you're on YouTube and Twitter.
And I'm on YouTube at What's a Boy to Do. So check out my panda video.
And if you want to buy Tom Goss's music, this is Lover from Back to Love. You can get it on the show notes of today's show titled, we shall title it Glitter Day. Some celebrate Glitter Day with Feast of Fun. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You knew my face. You knew my name. It's my soul you came to claim. Yeah, you heal me, lover. You held me close. You held me tight. Those arms, they took me through the night. Wake to grant me a new life. You inspire me, lover. They say that everyone thousand years of love may come to wrap you up and tie your bones. Well, I've got mine. Tragedy seems to strike at the peak of any life. No, no matter what it tries, you are still my lover. I hold you close, I hold you fast, and wipe those tears back with my hand. And when we both return to sand, you are still my lover. They say